Blog Talk Radio.
General Quarters, Security Condition 3.
HQ, Security 3, sir. General Quarters 3, intruder alert. GQ 3, intruder alert.
Well, good evening and welcome, and I am delighted to have you here again. Welcome to Madam Perry Salon. I am your host and cruise director, Madam Perry, also known as Jennifer Perry, or to the mods, Jennifer Maudette Perry. And I have just been having so much fun with you guys. Hey, listen, if you listen live on Blog Talk Radio, or if you ever download from Blog Talk Radio, if you would, please click that follow button. It's in a pink rectangle with follow in white letters. And I'd be delighted to have you click and follow or subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher, because that way I can keep getting sponsors and keep bringing more cool people like we've been having lately, like we've got coming up, and like we've got tonight. Now let's recap some of the fun we've had lately, and that way if you've missed any of these shows, you know you can always go back and download them for no cost at all. Let's see, last month we had Allison Arngrim. You remember her as Mean Nellie Olson from Little House on the Prairie. She's an actress, stand-up comedian, and also an activist for causes involving child abuse. And because if you read her book, she's hilarious. She's got she's just as funny. She's a very funny writer, very funny stand-up comic. But who knew that Nellie Olson throwing all those tantrums was helping her get through being sexually abused by a family member all those years. And so but she's fantastic. Last week we had Rick McIntyre, the poet. We had Kate Moore, a British author who's got about 10-12 books out. But this was about the Radium Girls. It was a true story of women in America back around the 1920s and 30s who worked with radium, painting dials on watches or equipment for the Army, because it was back during World War One, and they began to get very sick from the radium they were ingesting, although the company said, no, it's something else. Maybe they're floozies and have syphilis. They did hang that tag on a couple of the girls. So that was a very good book, very interesting. We also had Kenneth Kane on recently, Kenneth W. Kane, which is a horror mystery writer. And maybe Kenneth will cruise through here tonight. I don't know, but that guy is fun, too. We also had Rudy Sarzo, bass player for Quiet Riot, Ozzy. He also plays, too, with, I think, Blue Oyster Cult, maybe Joan Jett, but he's got a book called Off the Rails about his tour with Ozzy Osbourne. And that was also the time when his friend Randy Rhoads, the guitar player, died in the plane crash. So get that book, Off the Rails. Rudy Sarzo is also, him and his wife are very involved in activism for animal rights. And so we like that. Also, Chasm Sultan from Todd Rundgren and Utopia, Joan Jett, Blue Oyster, every band in the world. He was on recently. He's still got he's pushing his new solo CD called Bootleg. So get that. He's also on tour with Todd right now. And if you go see him, maybe I'll see you there. But also that, and coming up soon, we're going to have, I think we're going to have some of the zombies here. And I'm not talking about The Walking Dead. And we've also got M. William Phelps, true crime author, coming up soon. And he's like the rock star in the true crime world. Frenchie and the Punk, steampunk duo. We've got Athena Bass coming on too in later in May. Athena Bass, she's a drummer. She used to be married to some guy in the Scorpions. She's the younger sister of Tommy Lee. And she's also on the TV show Rockstar Ex-Wives. That's going to be fun. And tomorrow night, Randy Ross. And if you know anything about Randy Ross, his new book is finally out. He finally got a publisher for his book, God Bless Cambodia. And it's a ride. It's about when he got laid off from work. You can probably hear him. You can go to YouTube and hear him read sections of the book before the things that inspired his book. It's when he got laid off from a job and he said, you know, he wasn't dating. He was doing Match.com, which he compared to whack-a-mole. Sometimes he was the mole. Sometimes the prospects were, but, and then he said, you know, he said he got up the first day after being laid off, after working, and said, goes to the bathroom, opens the medicine cabinet and says, Vicodin, Clonopin, or Heineken, what does the unemployed person have for breakfast? And so that gives you a start to know you're going to have fun tomorrow night. Tonight, I am so, so psyched about tonight's show because this is a guest I wanted to have on for such a long time. This guy is fascinating. I'm not sure what he doesn't do, but we're going to be talking. We're going to be talking geek life. We're going to be talking Harlan Ellison. I told you to call this guy either a great scam man, liar, or a born writer. And people, Harley used to spend a lot of time here in Atlanta. I used to see him at the Atlanta Sci-Fi and Fantasy Festivals, which predated Dragon Con. And I think he married a gorgeous girl here. She had long red hair, a lot of fun. We're going to talk about, he's an audio dramatist, he's an author, this man's a filmmaker. He says recovering filmmaker, but I think he may relapse. I don't know. I probably shouldn't speculate. But you know what? When he's not scripting the zombie apocalypse, when he's not contributing to other pop culture speculative fiction podcasts like The Chronic Rift, that, my friends, is when I was able to get the roofie in his drink and drag him here into Madame Perry's salon. So welcome, please, Mr. Jace Smith. Jay, welcome to Madame Perry Salon.
Madame Perry, thank you for having me. I love this. Is efficiency.
Well, thank
small living, you've done great things with this environment. All about where
well,
you put stuff and how you economize. Love this.
You know, it really is. And I don't know if you know Kazem Sultan, the bass player from Todd Rundgren. He said he liked the whole Moroccan thing with the decor. Although I've got to tell you, we tried to clean it up, but we had a couple of thriller writers here a few months ago, Brett Wright and Rick Cornell, and I think they left a burrito in the cushion. So.
Oh, that's what that's – okay. Well, I thought that was just like some weird form of incense, but that makes perfect sense now.
Yeah. And then Daryl Rhodes, the comedian and musician Daryl Rhodes dropped in. He swears he left his hamster here. So I don't know if you see
okay.
it. He says just hold on to it. He says it's just a little thing. He says he calls it Donald. So anyway.
Okay.
Daryl, who
keep
knows?
An eye
who knows?
Donald.
And for Daryl as well. So Jay,
thanks.
I'm so thrilled to have you here. You are such
thanks.
I feel like I'm going to need several, like to get you in here once a month if I can, you know, I've got to have to be clever, you know, and kind of capture you a different way each time. I know you're pretty
Please.
Savvy. I know you're a quick learner. But tell us, what the hell, what are you doing today? What's going on? You've got a brand new book. Can we start with that?
Today? Yeah, sure. That's as good a place as any, I guess. I have a new book coming out called The Resurrection Pact, which is the first of a new series of geek noir novels. It's a genre that I've been tinkering with. It's a hard-boiled detective genre, but it's fused with geek culture, popular culture. It's a story of a man who's recovering from leukemia. He really has no direction in life, so he picks up the final case of his best friend who died in Afghanistan and tries to solve it. And it's rooted in this fantastic world of live action role playing and multiplayer online role playing. And he goes deep down into the rabbit hole to uncover this seedy underbelly of human trafficking and slavery. So it's a laugh riot, obviously.
I'll say, geek noir. Now, just when I thought I have heard every genre possible, probable, conceivable, Geek Noir. That's a fresh bit. I mean, you just unfolded the aluminum, the tinfoil on that. That's a fresh bit.
Yeah.
Where?
What's influenced?
Oh.
By authors like Neal Stephenson, who wrote Rimd and Cryptonomicon, Ernest Cline. These are authors who are realizing that we spend a lot of our time as a culture in virtual worlds, and a lot of our stories are being told. Our life stories unfold in worlds where we become a fictional character. So it's a natural progression of, I think, the crime and thriller genre. There's a lot more examples out there of people who have to solve a crime by trying to solve it in the real world, but also going into a virtual world and interacting with people on other sides of the planet and who are elves instead of humans or aliens or whatever. And it just adds an interesting dynamic to human interaction where you're in a virtual world, you're not necessarily dealing with real people for a reason. People become completely different when they're hiding behind a mask or an avatar or a username. So that's fun to explore.
Okay, so it's like the an alternative world. Is that you saying, or like a virtual world, alternative world, whatever?
Yeah.
Right.
It's a little bit.
So then where's the? I mean, you know, illuminate me because I'm. There's just so much to keep up with every day, and so then the noir. Where does the noir part of it come in? And,
well,
and if you'll hold on just a moment, if you hold
sure.
with me just 1 second, stay still.
Right.
I've got a couple of callers calling in, okay? And
one,
I think this guy is, I don't know if you know him, I think of him as a colleague of yours.
Okay.
And he's the, I believe this is Kenneth W. Cain.
Hello.
Okay. Hello.
Kenneth, is that you?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Hey,
can you hear me?
Well, welcome, and yes, I can hear you well. Do you know Jay Smith? Welcome to Jay Smith, or introduce you to Jay Smith.
Hey, nice to meet you, Jay.
Nice to meet you.
Had a few minutes sitting here drinking a glass of wine by the pond. Figured I'd call in and see how you guys are doing tonight.
Well, very nice.
Well, we're glad you did. And by the way, I think Duffy Odom just stepped in. If you'll move down just a wee bit, Jay Smith. Duffy doesn't take up too much room.
Okay.
Duffy, come on in.
Hey there. Hey, Jay.
Hey.
Hey, good to see you. Good to meet you.
Yeah.
Hey, Duffy. Well, I got to tell you, now, when Kenneth was on here recently talking about his brand-new book, Embers, and...
Yep.
Kenneth, we're talking about Jay's book, and he says it's Geek Noir.
Geek Noir. I love it. Well,
I know.
It sounds very interesting.
Like,
I mean, I love noir.
Yeah. Well, if you imagine Fletch, if you've read the Fletch books,
Raymond Chandler.
Or you can imagine Fletch going up against, say, Neil Gaiman, if Neil Gaiman were a mad cult leader. And he has this multi-online, this LARP, this Renaissance Festival in Vegas, where he presides over everything. And it's his almost Ernst Blofeld kingdom that he owns, and Fletch has to solve the mystery. That's kind of the mashup that I'm going for there.
Well, that's awesome. So it's got kind of like a humorous side to it.
I try to. Yeah, it's kind of deep subject matter, but I wanted to keep a lighter tone throughout most of it because, you know, when you're dealing with geek culture and popular culture, you know, you can't take it completely seriously.
I do the same thing. So my collections are all mostly, I guess more on the horror side, and people often say, you know, it kind of gets them down. So I always try to finish with a couple of, funny stories to kind of pick them up after all of it, you know, so I get it. I get that. That's awesome.
Yeah. One of my other books is a short story collection of stories that I wrote while I was in a surgical ICU waiting room for several weeks with a family member. And there was a collection of really dark stories. So I ended the book with a poem about lobsters. It was kind of an emotional amuse-bouche at the end of that. If you pick up Seven Till Sunrise, there's six deep literary stories, and then the lobsters are coming to take over the world. And it kind of confused a few readers and reviewers, but I liked it. So.
Yeah.
I hear what you're saying.
Sometimes you can't leave them on that down note. You got to pick them up.
Yeah. I'm not Lovecraft.
You know,
sure.
funny, How long ago did you write that one about the lobsters?
I think I collected it into a book about 2 years ago.
I think about maybe 10 or 15 years ago, I read a story. It might have been in the New Yorker at the time, and I believe it was written by Woody Allen. And he's in a restaurant, and he sees the lobsters in a tank, and then one of them crawls out and comes over to him, and it's Bernie Madoff. Right after the whole scandal.
Okay. A modern metamorphosis. Well,
so
Bernie Madoff ended
so
up as a lobster. That's great.
So, cause see, I was trying to think. Kenneth had some great stories about his job. He had working in the Pepperidge Farm cookie factory, which I could, and the things that happened there, which I was thinking of maybe a parody of that Stephen King. Where the rats are in the get messed up in the.
Oh yeah, yeah. The night shift.
You know, there's something with. With the cookie factory or whatever. But anyway, getting back to you should go listen to that episode with Kenneth W. Kane when you have a minute, Jay. But also,
sure.
Now, Jay, back to you then. One thing I like you've done is you've made you're an audio dramatist, but you've recorded a lot of your stories, so which is great. People like me, I'm on the road a lot. So I love having audio books, but having your audio, like I was listening to, like one of my favorites is your story, Cul-de-Sac.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites of your show stories. And Cul-de-Sac, so sometimes though when I'm reading, like if I'm listening to a long, like a 10 CD book,
uh-huh.
And then I find if I'm going from Atlanta to maybe Mississippi, that's great. But if I'm just going to Asheville, then I got to stop, get out of the car, and then wonder what happened, and then find an excuse to drive around. I can listen to it inside, but nobody's got a CD player inside anymore. So I love that you've got the short stories in the book. So, but your newest book is it The Redemption? What is it about?
Resurrection Pact is about an everyman. He goes on a hero's journey. He recovers from cancer. But everything in his life has been by the numbers. He's never achieved anything in his life that he wants. So he's coming out of this life and death situation, but he doesn't know why he survived. He questions the next steps. He's in an unhappy marriage and his job sucks, and it's the result of not doing anything. So he has to choose where to go from there. His best friend through his entire life is kind of the opposite. He was the paladin in every Dungeons & Dragons campaign, the do-gooder, overachiever, the great white knight, if you will. But he's living, but his best friend dies. So he's dealing with this survivor's guilt of what this great man is no longer around, and I get to live after this long fight, but I have nothing for it. So it's his journey to figure out what he wants to do with his life. Kind of a little bit of a razor's edge kind of question with Somerset Maugham story wrapped in Fletch as a detective novel. And he's always been a Dungeons and Dragons player. He's always been a geek, and he gravitates toward those things that he loved as a child, and he tries to apply them to his adult life. And so his friend who had passed away has set up these breadcrumbs and this trail that leads him to Vegas in order to solve his final mystery. But the final mystery, he thinks, is this game, like a scavenger hunt, like back in the old days when they just played Dungeons & Dragons or went geocaching. It turns out that it's a very real and very deadly game where he's fighting against this megalomaniac who is doing very evil things and has very real power in this world. So this everyman with no power and no sense of self-worth finds himself trapped in this world, and the only way he can get out is by going through and accomplishing the mission, going through the dungeon, as it were, to solve the problem and defeat the bad guy.
That sounds like a really cool idea. I like it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You gotta use that Dungeons and Dragons knowledge in your old age, don't you? You know, sometimes you just gotta walk down the halls of the mall and go, "Die, Demi Gordon!" Yeah,
I use that more than my high school math every day. My day job is in human resources, so yeah, we do things like the disc trading and We classify your how you classify different people in different ways, and that way you can learn how to interrelate with people who are different than you. And I think, well, I'm chaotic good. Is that unlike the Myers-Briggs scale? Is that what is that in terms of my classification? I'm a level 10 HR manager.
When somebody asks you what the odds are of you being successful with your job, you go, well, let me pull out my 20-sided die and I'll roll it.
Yeah.
If you go to Jay's Facebook page, that's the picture that's up there across the banner is all the different sided die. So, yeah.
Oh, nice. Yeah, Jay, look me up on Facebook, bud. We'll have to connect on Facebook. Look me up on Facebook. We'll have to connect.
Absolutely.
I just sent you a connection to each other.
Okay,
so,
cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Right.
I've been out here all day, like working on this pool pump, so I'm like all greasy and grimy.
Now you did an honest day's work. That's good.
Yeah.
Well, let me get back to it because the neighbor's starting to mow, and I don't want to interrupt your show too much. Hey, nice dropping in and talking to you and meeting you.
Hey, nice to meet you too. Take care.
All right, take care.
All right, now we've got another caller on the line. Hi, this is welcome to Madame Perry's Salon.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, my God.
Welcome.
It's my bookie. Oh, no.
I thought I'd stop in. Jay invited all of his friends to stop in and say hi, and he still owes me about $150 from his last bet, so I just thought I'd...
good
Jay,
luck.
what...
Oh, is that with interest?
Yeah,
hey,
well,
he threw that fight, and you know it. Will, he threw that fight. I am not good for that, and you know it. I
but
will find
anyways,
you on the road.
I had a question for Jay. It's good to hear from you, too,
yes.
Jay. I did have a question for you, or rather a prompt. I thought I'd ask, Jay, what is it like to receive a virtual wedgie from George R.R. Martin?
A virtual
wow.
wedgie? Are you talking about Tucson? Because that was very close.
Tucson, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That was fun. Will Herr, if you don't know, Will is an author as well. He just had a new book out. You want to plug that real quick, Will?
Nope. It's all about you, Jay. You go ahead. I want to hear your reaction to George Martin.
Oh, okay. Well,
I want to hear all about it.
Well, Will and I were out in Tucson, Arizona last November for TusCon, which is a great small convention of science fiction and fantasy. It's kind of a small close. They only sell a certain amount of tickets, which was very problematic because George R. R. Martin was their guest of honor. So the tickets sold out quickly, and the hotel was closed up, and there were a lot of people there. It was a packed house. And Will and I were scheduled to sign books right before George's signing, and when you're in a signing, it's a pretty much a hit and miss kind of thing. Either people are interested in what you sell or they're not. We were put on this central plaza in the middle of the hotel. There were four or five authors along in this, and as soon as we sat down and had our books out, security started closing off that central area where we were, and we were like, what's going on here? And one of the security guys came up and went, George needs this cordoned off for right now. He's going to be here in about, 50 minutes or so. So, well, I can sell a whole lot of books in 50 minutes. And I said, well, yeah, it's a security protocol because look at all these people. They're not here for you to sign their books. They're not here for you to sign your books for them. They're here for George. Like, So for the next hour, Will and I are sitting like zoo animals in the middle of this crowd of people waiting for George R. R. Martin. And meanwhile, they bring out George's royal blue throne, and they put it next to me, and they set up his books at a table right next to me, and I'm sitting there, and people are looking at awe. They're more in awe of this chair than Will or me as human beings. It is an amazing feeling. So we're sitting there for the next 45 minutes until the great George R. R. Martin, and I'm not being sarcastic, I felt this palpable change in the environment as he strode up and looked at Will and I and went, what are you doing in my domain? He didn't say this, but just the look on his face was, how did you get past the barricades? And Will and I are like, I think we should leave now. And security asked, so he had to drag Will off, I think, if I remember that correctly.
Yeah, actually, I was pulled off stage by my ear. You got a picture of it.
I do. Carol, who's a wonderful security agent, very, very, very efficient. And if you've ever met Will, he's very tall. He's very foreboding. If he wore a robe, a monk's robe on the street, he would run away screaming. He's very intimidating is what I'm trying to say. And Carol, it was one of the security guards, just yanked him off the stage. It was great. And that's my story about how close I ever got to George R. R. Martin. He looked at – I have these stuffed zombie bears that I used to sell with the Diary of Jill Woodbine, one of my novels. George kind of walked up, looked at the bears, and went, huh, and then sat down. And that's the closest communication I've ever had with George R. R. Martin. So.
If I can give a shout out,
George.
If I can give a shout out to Tuscon, however, they really were fantastic.
I mean,
just everybody. The security, they didn't really have a choice in cordoning us off and refusing to let anybody get close to us. But beyond that, the security was fantastic, and it's one of the most relaxing conventions you can ever go to. It's just a joy to be there. And this year, I believe they have Timothy Zahn.
Yes, that's the first convention I've ever been to where security is actually trained to kill you. I've met three of them. They're really great people. They're not like overworked middle-aged volunteers who are just, you know, they're bitter because they can't go and do the cool stuff. These are like military grade assassin security guards, and they're awesome people. I met three of them. I would like to write a book about all three of them. Tuscon is, I can't wait to go back and see more of it and reunite with some of those people. Plus the organizers are fantastic as well. So big plug for
And where does this take
Tuscon.
Place?
Tuscon, Arizona.
Oh, Tuscon. Okay, it's Tuscon, of course. That's where they have the Wild Wild West.
Old Tuscon.
Yes,
they also have Old Tuscon there, which is the set for a lot of Westerns done back in the 70s and 80s.
Yep, that's true, which I'll actually get to see this year.
All right.
I'll be going out there early.
So Will, are you a writer as well?
Yeah, well, yes, I am. I didn't call in to talk about myself. I mean, this is Jay's show, his spotlight.
Right.
But
I
am.
Just wanted to... Yeah, okay, because you said you guys were there together. Okay, if you guys can hold on and we'll stay. I've got another caller. This is another caller for Jay Smith. Just a moment, okay?
Okay.
Welcome to Madame Perry's Salon. Oh, I'm so sorry.
I thought I got rid of you with that spell. I feel like my soul versus magic.
Could you guys stop talking so much? I'm in a trance.
Okay. Holy God. That was a blast from the past. I have no idea how that found me. That gate was closed many years ago. Shoot.
Well, just when you think something's out of the... It comes back in the rearview mirror, and there you go. It's just like all of a sudden, there you go. So, no.
Wow.
Oh,
it's like a family reunion.
You thought you closed that door. It closed like this.
So this is great. I got my bookie and then one of my possessing spirits from my childhood. That's who else are you going to roll out? My, like, third-grade math teacher and...
Is this like Jay Smith? This is your unlife.
you have no idea. You said third grade math teacher.
Yes.
I got a part time gig.
You don't have her behind the door, do you?
I've got this part-time gig grading third grade math papers, so that's like I just did it this morning.
Well, before Will goes, be sure to check out his books. He's not gonna pimp them, so I will. From a Broken Land and The Captivity of Choice. The Captivity of Choice just came out. Go read it. His fantasy is great. And check out his Amazon author page.
Well, Will, maybe you would be a guest here on Madame Perry Salon sometime.
I'd be more than happy to. Madame Perry,
comfortable now.
I'm sorry.
If you're feeling comfortable now with it.
Yeah, well, certainly I'm comfortable with it. I just
good.
I don't want to step in Jay's spotlight, and but beyond that, I used to be a news director for an AM radio station, so I'm fairly comfortable talking to people who aren't really there. That sounds bad, but you know, Jay understands what I'm saying. He's seen me talk to the wall.
Yes, I have.
I'm sure.
It's great sitting down with you, Jay. And I'm looking forward to you saying all kinds of I'd really like to know what the significance of the lobsters was, because I feel that there was something literary going on there. And I just couldn't grasp it. I think that was my problem. I didn't have the depth to be able to understand the true significance of lobsters at the end of a book about death.
Unless you've got to go drop a dime somewhere, if you could just stay just a couple more minutes with us, because we're enjoying you, and I don't know if you're getting ready to leave for the door, but
you know, as long as you keep feeding me beer, I'll be here. Jay said that I'd get free beer if I stop by.
Well,
it's over there.
Lies,
follow the smell of the burrito.
Yeah, that's I'm gonna let him know. That's Brett Cornell that left that dog, and no, Brett Wright and Rick Cornell, thriller writers, but Rick Cornell, you have to watch out for him. He's also an appellate attorney in Reno, and an opera singer. I don't know what his I worry about him. So let's get back. And Will, I need your help on this. Just kind of help me bring out the essence of Jay Smith. You know, some people are afraid to come on Madame Perry Salon because they don't listen. They think I'm going to beat them down like Barbara Walters in the 90s. But that's not it. I want to bring out, who is Jay? What's in his heart? What's in his soul? What are his nightmares about? What is his guilty pleasure as far as snack foods?
Well, his guilty pleasures, as far as I know about snack foods, don't exist anymore. Because he has pushed them all away, haven't you, Che? You're not indulging at all anymore, are you?
No, not at all. No.
Okay. Yeah.
No.
But nope. Put down the Cheetos. Jay Smith, if you were to run into somebody who was a cross between your grandfather and a cross between your grandfather, Santa Claus, and a dead, moldering grizzly bear. I mean, that would be Jay Smith, I mean, in my mind. So, more the dead, moldering grizzly bear. I mean, you know, I've known Jay since he was, how old were we when we met? Anyways, Jay.
It was the 90s. Clinton was about to be elected president. For real this time.
That's right. And you sent me off to New York to cover the also-rans on the Democratic Party. That's right.
Yeah.
He was editor-in-chief of the newspaper, and I was one of his on-the-beat reporters. And he put up with me. Actually, he put up with so much from me. So Jay is – think of a straight man. Okay. Think of your perfect straight man who's completely unassuming, but who gets the joke and plays along anyways. Okay, so that would be Jay Smith. Not to mention one of the most capable authors and capable producers that I know, and I know quite a few.
Okay, I believe you. And Will, I appreciate that. So, I felt bad about asking about it. The writer's just here.
Hello, are you still there?
Madam Perry, hello. I think
hello.
She evaporated.
But you know what? She did
we
so in a stylish way.
Now.
It's our show. Now it's all about the literati. So Jay, tell me. What upcoming work do you have that's going on? You have to have something in the works, don't you?
What do I have in the what? I'm sorry, you're breaking up too.
I'm breaking up too. So what do you have coming up?
Clear.
What do you have waiting in the wings?
I'm working on the second book in the Resurrection Pact series. Next week we've got a great cancer benefit coming up. And that there's some details in that which I'm still working out, but we are I'm selling all the books that I've gotten from this printing. All of the revenue that I'm getting from this event is going to two great charities in Central PA, Leukemia Lymphoma Society of Central PA and Vicky's Angel Foundation. Now, leukemia and lymphoma you probably have heard of because it fights the disease. Vicky's Angel Foundation helps the families who are helping their loved ones fight this disease. One of the things we don't really talk about when fighting cancer is the financial devastation that hits family members who lose an income when someone goes into the hospital for a long time, or when you have a child in the hospital and your life changes revolve around getting to the hospital and getting to work. The Vicky's Angel Foundation helps families by helping them pay the bills and taking care of those things that fall by the wayside when your entire focus is getting a family member back on their feet and back to life. So we're really proud to work with both Leukemia Lymphoma Society and Vicky's Angel Foundation. Covered Maker Books is in Enola, PA, and I know most of the people listening to this are way out of the range of this bookstore, but Michelle, who owns the place, is donating 50% of all used book sales to both charities, and that's all day.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, and we'll also be auctioning off some very cool items. A couple friends of mine just came through with some amazing, unique opportunities to bid on signed books by authors Harlan Ellison, Douglas Adams, and we might have a signed Neil Gaiman, but we will have a first edition Neil Gaiman, and also some really cool things that I'm not sure I can talk about yet because they're not 100% firm. But it'll be fun. It's on the 13th, Saturday the 13th, at Cupboard Maker Books in Enola, Pennsylvania. The signing is from 1 to 3, but we'll have activities from noon until 3:30 or until when I sell the last book. So I'll have copies of Resurrection Pack, but also Diary of Joe Woodbine and anything else that I can put together to bring out and sell for charity.
Well, you sound very passionate about this. I know from personal experience that there's a reason for that. You care to go into that?
Well, my older brother, Dave, he's a leukemia survivor. He went through a holiday season fighting leukemia, and he's now, quote-unquote, cured. I lost a brother-in-law to leukemia many, many years ago. I lost my father to esophageal cancer, and it's a high risk in my family, but the older we get, the more of our friends more of our friends end up having to fight these battles, or they end up with close calls. And it's one of those omnipresent things that you don't really think about as a kid, and then you're right knee deep in it. Our good friends, Hugh Casey, who beat this, and Wendy Iserman, who did not, unfortunately, authors like C.J. Henderson. Cancer takes a toll. And while we can't beat the beast every time, we can do everything we can to fight those battles that we can win and then help mitigate some of the damage along the way. So that's one of the things that I want to accomplish. I mean, me selling some books, it was great to you know, spread the word about my book, but it just seems a little hollow and selfish when there's an opportunity to do some good with it. And I hope that this event will raise a lot of money for those causes. So,
okay.
Is Madam Perry back? Have we found her? Do we need to say
can you hear
party?
Me now?
I can hear her now.
You can hear me?
I can hear Madam Perry.
Oh, good. Yahoo!
There you are.
We thought this
okay,
was
well,
out.
I will.
Well,
so I,
Will.
Yeah, that's okay. I'll give everything back over to Madam Perry. Madam Perry, was wonderful seeing you, please. I rearranged a little bit around here. I hope you don't mind, but I'll take down the nude pictures and I'll just leave quietly, okay?
Are they of Jay?
No, they're actually of my grandmother.
Never mind. Go ahead. Yeah,
you
go on with that.
Well,
but besides
I don't
that,
think there are
new
pictures
today.
Pictures long ago. So
thank you.
Hey,
okay. Well, anyways, I've got to take off. You have yourself a great day, and thank you for sitting down and talking with me, Jay. And I hope that you'll come back and visit with me again sometime.
Hey, I told you I love you. Now get out. Go. Thank you.
Bye bye.
Bye.
Oh, well, that was surreal.
I like him. He's fun.
Yeah, he is.
Can tell you by the company they keep. Well, that was I don't know. I don't know what happened to me. I think it was your little demon girls. I don't know, but thanks so much and for sharing the information about that too. Before I have to let you go, can you tell us about Hidden Harbor Mysteries?
Sure. That's a program that I did a few years ago with an audio producer named Brian Lincoln. What I wanted to do was recreate a classic radio drama series. Now, a lot of what we do now is modern audio drama, which is very cool. I spent 5 years with the fantastic Mike Stokes producing a modern zombie horror serial. But what I wanted to do with Hidden Harbor was go back to that gritty 1930s style, one mic, one take kind of feel. We didn't really achieve that, but what we ended up doing was tell the story. Basically, it's the shadow with a female lead. And we told it in 15-minute cliffhanger chunks. And it's about it's life in the 1930s. There's this debutante who by day raises money for charities in Hidden Harbor, and by night she fights crime. So it's done. There are a lot of tropes, and there's a lot of standard pulp fare. But we tried to inject a little bit of humor and freshness with the characters. It was a lot of fun to do. I got to work with some fantastic voice actors like Veronica Jaguar and Dave Robison and just a bunch of people who I had been wanting to work with for years with HG World, my other show, but it just never worked out. So if you want to hear something great, go to HiddenHarborMysteries.com and check it out. It's really cool. It's free to download. There are 15 episodes, so you'll get your money's worth at least.
Okay, and it's a great-looking website, too, so I'll be sharing this as well here and on Twitter and on social media. And, because I listen to radio classics on Sirius XM, so you know, I'm down with this scene.
Oh, yeah.
I really am.
Very cool.
Resurrection Pack.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be selling that this May the 13th at Cupboard Maker Book. Tell us, I think you were talking to Will about the charities you've been doing for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society and Vicky's Angel Foundation. But if you could just once more talk about what's going to happen on May 13th.
Yeah, I was telling Will that, and this kind of gets a little bit more into detail about this, used bookstores and local bookstores are the backbone of your community in terms of finding a relationship with a new author or a new series. And you find that the owners and the workers there are very passionate. And I love working with Michelle, who's the owner of Cupboard Maker Books. And she was kind enough to invite me to a couple of events. One was a zombie theme or survivalist theme book signing. And she's just fun to be with. So I proposed, you know, I'm launching this new book. I'd rather it not just be, please come buy my book. You don't know who I am. You don't know what this is about. Let's make it about something where we can do some good. And her family has dealt with cancer, and it's basically cancer leaves a crater and a shockwave across your family and friends.
Mm-hmm.
And we both have shared stories. And we decided, you know, the 13th is before Mother's Day, and she's doing it in honor of her mother-in-law. She decided to heck with it. From the time we opened the doors to the time we closed, she's going to give 50% of the proceeds of every sale of used books to one of our two charities. And I decided that I'm going to give cover price. I'm just going to sell my books and donate the whole cover price to both charities, split 50-50. And then we reached out to our author friends, and they've been very generous with their donations of signed books and really cool paraphernalia that we're going to auction off, silent auction or Chinese auction, depending on what it is. We've got some great, great titles. A friend of mine, Doug Lane, he's an author, fantastic guy, donated a signed Harlan Ellison, a signed Douglas Adams book. And we're hoping that we're going to get a very good friend of ours to donate a signed Neil Gaiman. But if not, we'll at least have a first edition of Coraline for a bid as well. So people have been asking me if they can donate or they can bid online or from a distance. And unfortunately, we don't have anything. But we do encourage people that if they do hear this and they do want to donate to the cause, that they contact their local Leukemia and Lymphoma Society and make a donation, or reach out to Vicky's Angel Foundation on my webpage or the event itself and donate. And if they want to, they can write down the name of a loved one or whoever it's in memory of, and we'll put it on our memory wall on the day of the event.
Oh, that's so nice. That's so good. I shared this too on my wall as well. The event on May 13th, Cupboard Maker Books. That is on is it 157 North Enola Road, Enola, Pennsylvania.
Yep.
And so while you're launching the new Geek Noir Thriller, The Resurrection Pack by Jay Smith, it sells benefit Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Central Pennsylvania, as well as Vicky's Angel Foundation, and also Cupboard Maker Books is generously donating 50% of all the used book sales. Just kind of mention that as well for people tagging in here at the end of the show. If you get the new book, The Resurrection Pack, if you're not getting it there, if you get The Resurrection Pack, I can promise you this. Once you get hooked on Jay Smith, you will not have to wait. He's got plenty of books for you to grab. And he's got books. He's also got... And this is for me, audiobooks, so when I'm riding down the road, I got Jay Smith reading to me. And that's a pretty cool thing, too.
Yeah, well, you got one of my great voice actor friends who were gracious enough to donate their time to read the Seven Till Sunrise story. So I'll let you said you like cul-de-sac. I'll let DT know that you liked his voice.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, please do. Yeah, please do, because I definitely did. You have just been so generous with your time tonight, and I really do appreciate it. Thank you for being my guest here, for fluffing up the cushions there, for bringing in your pals. I just think you're fantastic. I've got so much more I want to talk to you about. So that means I'm going to have to this time I'm going to ask you to come back instead of tricking you back in. Would you come back?
Sure. Happy to come back anytime. Thanks for having me.
Okay. Hey, and your buddy Will, too. Yeah, he's a lot of fun. So thank you so very much.
You guys give that guy 2 hours.
Keep
a taser handy.
You
probably hit a couple of packs of smokes in your cushions there, just because.
Let me tell you, you're starting to scare me. You know a little bit too much about me. I've got a taser. I graded third grade math papers this morning. You're knowing a little bit too much about me. I don't know. I'm from the 60s. You know, to us, it's all a conspiracy theory. Come on back. Get Jay Smith's book. Listen to Hidden Harbor Mysteries. I'm going to be posting all of his stuff because I am just crazy about Jay Smith and all your work. Thank you for joining Madam Perry Salon. Don't forget, everybody, come back tomorrow night for Randy Ross. God bless Cambodia. You will laugh. Oh, you will laugh. And do you sing, Jay? Do you sing?
Not in public anymore, no. Why?
Well, that's all right. I'm going to go ahead. This time, I'm going to go ahead and sing you out of here with Everybody's Got to Swing. And again, thanks to author, audio dramatist, Jay. Everywhere.